This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Teich. Thank you so much for being with us today. 3 years ago, the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency called for a 20-year, more than $330 billion capital improvement initiative to improve the nation's drinking water utilities. But the problem of crumbling infrastructure has just gotten worse. Starting today, utility leaders and other water delivery experts will be in the Midwest to take up the daunting topic. The American Water Summit runs through Thursday in Chicago. Organizers hope the gathering will cultivate creative ways to finance the very expensive proposition. And that's where Kathy Shandling comes in. She's executive director of the International Private Water Association, which promotes public-private partnerships to finance water and wastewater projects. WUWM environmental reporter Susan Bentz reached Shandling by phone before she left her New York base. Shandling cited Santa Paula, California's water recycling facility as a good example of successful public-private funding models.
And that is truly a finance, design, build, own, or lease transfer project in which private sector operator brought in a partner in a form of private equity infrastructure fund who provided the financing. They operate it, they own it or lease it for a period of time. Eventually, it will get transferred. And it's a success story. It is, running smoothly. You talk to the mayor out there. Nobody will fault it. Everything is going according to plan. And they look to do this particular project because they had all sorts of mandates coming from the EPA, unfunded mandates that they couldn't handle. So they turned to the private sector to address their wastewater infrastructure needs and refurbishment off the balance sheet of the private sector. And you would think with other cities around the country who are financially struggling, let alone a small handful that have unfortunately declared bankruptcy protection, it would really open the door for municipalities to rethink the potential role that PPPs could play to help them address their funding issues. It's not happening, not at the level that we all thought it would.
And your sense for why that is?
It's not just one. I mean, I guess it would depend who you spoke to. If you spoke to the unions, they would say, well, why do we want the private sector? All they're in there to do is make lots of money, and they're going to fire all the public sector workers. That does not happen in the cases where PPPs have taken place. But nevertheless, you do hear that. Likewise, you hear comments that we just can't seem to embrace the intricacies that will take to dive into a PPP arrangement. From the individual perspective, the average consumer, I mean, what happened in Milwaukee, oh gosh, now over a year ago, when they already have a private sector contract for their wastewater delivery, but they thought of looking at a concession agreement where they would essentially lease out for a fee their potable water. And they put out a bid just for an advisor to advise them on the various options out there. You know, it wasn't even a bid for an actual proposal for who would want to lease and pay for the lease, but it was just an advisor, and they were protesting on the streets of Milwaukee to the point that the mayor had to back down. And what you would hear from the protesters, it was all about water is a right, why should we sell ourselves to the private sector so they can make lots of money off of us when water is a right? It's a problem because water, yes, I mean, we need water every day for living. But to access clean, reliable water supply in which you can walk down the hall of your home, of your office, that is a privilege. And to just access the water by turning on the tap. And for that privilege, there is a fee for it, whether you pay it directly to the government through a user fee or taxes, or you pay it via user fee that is taken care of by a private sector operator who's been brought in to either operate it or leased out to them, or in some cases, out and out own the facility and the operations.
Now, you're about to come to Chicago and participate in a National Water Summit. One of the sections that you're going to be speaking with is actually with a group of mayors from different parts of the country, one of whom is the mayor of Racine, Wisconsin, John Dickert. And
yes.
You're going to be talking about the financial challenges that face municipalities, the impact and delivery of water and wastewater services. So how did that panel come together? And is your function in it to lead the conversation, or are these all examples of cities which are looking in a more progressive way of managing their water issues?
I think these are all cities that would be willing to look at alternative options and alternative partnerships. I will not put words in the mouth of any of these wonderful mayors.
Of course.
What brought it together and makes this panel unique is that none of these mayors are mayors of huge cities. The average city in this country is not a New York, a Boston, a Philadelphia, a Washington, D.C. They are the size of a Racine. So it will be interesting to hear what these mayors have to say, because you have these cities that are mid-sized cities who have all sorts of requirements that they have to provide their populations, school systems, their infrastructure, security, safety, healthcare, what have you. So the issue becomes, what are the priorities and where's the money going to come from? And what can you do, particularly when you're trying to function in a financial climate that is stressed and challenged? And so what are the potential options of bringing in partners to help deliver the required services? I will also be co-hosting a roundtable on innovative financing. And my co-host is a gentleman who used to be a mayor of a Massachusetts city. So we were speaking of how we were going to bring up select tools to discuss with the participants. And we have come up with a list of, let's just say, not to give away the presentation, but over 8 financial resources that municipalities should be able to turn to. And some of them are traditional resources, like more funding from the federal and the state government. But, the issue is, how viable really is that? How viable is it that we'll see a national infrastructure bank get created? Chicago has moved forward to create a Chicago infrastructure bank, and now you have the state of New York thinking of creating a state infrastructure bank. But there's been a lot of talk through the years of creating a national infrastructure bank. And the issue is, how viable is it, and where are we with that concept?
So describe that concept a bit further, the infrastructure bank.
Well, what a national infrastructure bank would be, or a state one, or a city one, it would provide inexpensive loans, and maybe in some cases grants in select cases, and maybe guarantee instruments to help a municipality move forward, or the municipal water system be able to move forward with funding. Because a municipal water system doesn't necessarily have the ability to go to the bank and just ask for any amount of money at any interest rate. In the same way, when you go out and buy a home, you shop around for the cheapest mortgage. So the issue is, what can be done, what type of resources could be put in place that would help give municipalities better access to lower cost loans, lower cost funding, the use of guarantee instruments, the use of credit enhancement that may not be available for them right now, but through a national infrastructure bank could be available to them.
Do you think there's a tipping point approaching at which we will be forced to rethink our philosophy, our take on water?
I think there, a tipping point will eventually come. When it will come, I don't know. I would have thought it would have hit California and parts of the Southwest and even the Southeast. But you'll hear people in Atlanta talk about how high their water bill is to begin with. And yeah, it is high compared to other parts of the country, but it's lower than, most countries in Europe still. So at what point is there going to be a countrywide tipping point in which everybody embraces a sense of understanding of water efficiency, water conservation, water reuse, and a need to pay more money when it comes to delivery of basic daily water services, I think it's anybody's guess.
And
the same way when you go to the federal government, and this is not to pick on one administration versus another, but even, you know, President Obama in his speech last week, you know, he talked about the need to create jobs and move forward with that. He talked about the need to come up with a more effective alternative energy, but he didn't talk about water. And he's not the only one. You'll hear congressmen or senators, they will talk about the importance of sustainable infrastructure. But when they talk about it, they seem to point out transportation and energy. Water is part of everything, and yet that is not part of the statements being made by politicians. What they included in their acceptance speeches was all about job creation as it relates to manufacturing, about energy, but not one of them talked about the need to focus on water as it may relate to jobs that can be created through efforts for water efficiency or water conservation or water reuse or water technology.
Kathy Shandling is Executive Director of the International Private Water Association. She'll take part in the third annual American Water Summit, which runs today and tomorrow in Chicago. She spoke with WUWM environmental reporter Susan Bentz from New York. Keep listening. We'll take a quick break now and in just a moment examine issues of body image and our relationship with food. This is Lake Effect from WUWM.